And Father, I just thank you right now, and I praise you. And Father God, the enemy works in many mysterious ways. We know that. He sneaks in the back door, and he just does what he feels like doing. I'm asking you right now, Father God, to close that back door in each one of our lives, that the enemy has no more place. He has no more way to get in. And Father God, we are going to walk forward, keeping our eyes directly upon you, Father God, expecting the doors to continually open for us that you want us to walk through. And Satan, you are a liar and the father of all lies. You will not hinder God's peoples from walking in the path he wants them to walk in. And right now, Father, I'm asking that you move upon the hearts of the people who wanted to come through the doors tonight, but the enemy would not allow them to. I'm asking you, Father God, to perform the miracles that need to be performed right now in the name of Jesus. I'm asking God that you change hearts. And Father God, just as we were singing this song, this is a move. This truly is a move of your spirit. And you truly do want your people to move forward, to change and to move forward. And Father God, we are expecting a miracle tonight. We are expecting you, Father God, to move in a mighty way. And Father God, we love you. We cherish you. And we only want to do what you want us to do. And Father, I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You know, you really do have to understand that the enemy is coming through the back door. He can come through that back door because we are not following God the way we ought. And God wants that to stop. People are trying to manipulate us, to control us. They're doing all manner of evil. They're trying to make us feel like we are not godly. But we know what God's called us to do, and we need to stand our ground. This is very important that you understand right now tonight that the enemy's trying to undo the works that God has done. And I'm hearing just as the enemy undid the government and did his dirty work there. That's what he's trying to do in each one of our lives. He's trying to steal what God has already put into motion, you know, for us to receive. Do not allow him to receive it. I keep saying, how long, how much longer are we going to allow this to go on? But tonight as I was praying, this it's about us too. How much longer are we going to allow the enemy to usurp God's authority in our lives? How much longer are we going to allow the enemy to steal our assignments that God has given us? And how much longer are we going to just sit idly by and not enter into the things that God's called us to enter into? This is very important that we grab a hold of this right now, because this is when God is speaking it. This is when God is dealing with it. So many people, God has been dealing with their hearts, and God has truly touched them. You know, of our loved ones. And they were touched, but they lost the touch. And now they're forever lost. They're not going to go to heaven. They're just not going to go to heaven because God gave them that one last chance to get it together, and they didn't do it. When the Holy Spirit moved upon them, they cried, you know, and they just thought it was just wonderful. But so quickly, they allowed the enemy to come in and steal what God did for them. And God is saying right now, this is a move. It is an eternal move. And if we don't watch how we move, we're going to lose out also. Do not allow the enemy any more ground. Yesterday, I just was telling Teresa, and I said, I just feel such a perfect calm. Did you feel that? Did anybody else feel? I have a perfect calm and a perfect peace. And it's just like the whole atmosphere around about me was changed, that I was no longer in that dark, gloomy, worldly atmosphere, but I was in a heavenly atmosphere. And the enemy could not change it. It is secure around about me. I want each one of you to enter into that secret place with God. I want you to allow him to put you in the, I call it a bubble. You know, I just call it a bubble because I just feel like I'm in a bubble. And I just feel like the enemy's finished with me. And then he can no longer touch me. Now, he can if I get out of that mindset. If I start walking in doubt and unbelief, he will be able to touch me. I'm not going to get into doubt and unbelief. I'm not. And, you know, yesterday, whenever I was just praying about, I wanted God to move this morning in the miracles, he said, there's so many back injuries in the world that I want to heal, but there's different things going on in people's lives that are keeping the healing from taking place. If you know, if you have a back problem, you can't do much of anything, can you? And what better way for Satan to cripple you than mess up your back? So let's not allow Satan to have any more place in our health either. Let's make him leave us alone by walking in the fullness of who God has called us for to be. God spoke to somebody here this morning. No, you didn't hear it because it was a private little thing. And I said, you still have your back problem, don't you? And they said, yes. I said, and then God said, it's because you can't forgive yourself. Until you forgive yourself, you're going to have a back problem. I believe that's more than just one person in that predicament. You know, you just, even though God said, I forgave you, so you can forgive yourself. Just forgive yourself. You know, you can't go back and change it. There's not one person in this room that hasn't done something or said something that you wish you could go back and change. But you can't. You've lived that life. And God knew you were going to be there. And God forgave you. Now you forgive yourself. And then just move on. Just move on. I'm hearing God say, some of you are going to smell the fragrance of honeysuckle. And it's going to be God around about you. All right? What are you grinning about, Nancy? Have you smelled it? See, that's God's fragrance around about you. I think that's awesome. I'm going to be smelling for honeysuckle now, right? But, you know, if we allow God, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over all of our lives. You can't live somebody else's life. You can't live my life for me. We have to each one live our own life and go through and do what God's doing. And if we make a mistake, well, God's there to correct it, right? He loves us all very, very much. And it's us that keep ourselves bound up. It's not the enemy, it's us. Because he has no power or authority over us, does he? So he can't bind us, right? So it's somewhere along the line we're missing that secret ingredient that allows the enemy to keep us bound. All right? I'm hearing God say, there's so much more I'd like to say, but you really are not ready to receive it right now. There's so much in the richness of my glory that I want to give you. But you're not ready to receive that yet either. But I am going to bust open wide the gates of heaven. And I am going to pour myself out upon you. And I am going to send you forth for the harvest. And while you're doing the harvest, then I can give you all the deepness of myself that I so desire to give you. It's at that point you'll have your eyes off of yourself and off of man. And you have your eyes upon me and what I'm doing with you. And then I can work in you and through you. So many of you are constantly crying out to me, asking me, God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And you already know what I'm going to do. I need the harvest brought in. And when you get your eyes off of what am I going to do, and place them on the harvest, is at that point that you are free and I can give you all that you need for this end time hour. Amen. Thank you, Father. Let's start with this teaching. It's how can we limit the unlimited power of God? If God is all-powerful and all-loving, why don't we see more miracles and healings in our church today? Here's that too little word, if. This question is asked all too often from not only believers, but also from the world of non-believers as well. All too often we are confronted with the bleak reality that our religion does not line up with the God we see in our Bible. Isn't that a great big amen? We make excuses and offer weak hope in the face of devastation, sin, and death. We make excuses and offer weak hope. You don't make any more excuses for why God isn't moving in your life or why you're not healed. You know, you need to say, God, if I've missed it, show me where I've missed it so I can get it corrected and we can move on. And, you know, don't blame it on somebody else. You know, because it's you and God, just you and God. Not you and your family and God, it's just you and God. And ask God, what is it that I need to change in my life so you can move through me in all your glory? Death and sin are overtaking so many people that claim to be a part of the kingdom of God. Death and sin. Where is the power that we need in the church today? And are we responsible for the lack of deliverance and healing? Are you seeing it? Where is the power that we need in the church today? Let's read this passage from God's word and pray and pay very close attention to the words that are in the brackets. Psalm 78, verse 41 and 42 says, "And they limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy." They limited God. That was the people. So, saints, it's you and I that's limiting God. There's something in us that God needs to get out of us so that we can go forth and do the great mighty works that God's calling us forth to do. Did you notice this morning in the prophetic words the pain that's still in people? The hurt that's still there and the trauma? You know, there's so much of it there still. After all the things, and you know, it's not your fault, but I'm saying we don't realize it's there. And then here comes God and says, what is there? And we say, wow, I didn't know that was in there. And then he pulls it out. Just like when God spoke to Sister Barbara and said, all you want to do is love people and help people, but they don't understand you. So then they condemn you, saying that you want to be in control. And really all she wants to do is love and help. You know, and she didn't know, I don't think she knew that, but now she does. And now you can look at people in a different light when you understand that they don't understand you. Are you realizing that? People don't understand people of God. They really don't. Why? Because you act different than the world does, and they want you to line up with them when you yourself are lining yourself up with God and you're staying godly. All right, read it again. They, the people, limited or held back the full power and authority. The full power and authority. It was not God who decided to hold back. It was the people that held back his hand. How? By unbelief. The word tells us that they did not remember his power. They had let fear and unbelief overtake the faith and belief that they once held. They seemed to forget God's power and thus let the power that was available become ineffective in their situation. And we still do that today. Before we go any further, though, I want to let you know that God told me years ago he was removing the Holy Spirit and he was removing healing from the church because the church was trampling on both. And he said he would bring both back into the church, but it would be in his timing. Right now is his timing. Right now, you know, he's been bringing the Holy Spirit back into the church. And whenever the people are comfortable with the Holy Spirit and will let the Holy Spirit do the work and not their flesh, then we're going to see all the signs, wonders, and miracles flow. There cannot be 1 ounce of doubt and unbelief. If God says, God, all right, I'll just use me as an example. He said, you're already healed in the heavenly realm. Now you have to pull it down. And as I pull it down and I stand on it and I don't doubt and I don't waver, and Brother Aaron keeps me in the court, the healing is going to manifest itself. The other night, Wednesday night when I was here, I looked at you people. I saw you thin. I even said to Brett, are you losing weight? He said, no, it's up and down. And I said, I saw you. I looked at the people and saw them thin. And so I know that you're going to we're all going to lose this weight that's on us. I just know because I saw us, we were all thin sitting in here. There wasn't one of us overweight. So I don't know how that's going to happen. I mean, I know it's going to be a miracle from God. I don't know what he's waiting on to do it, because I have been praying, God, please take the weight off of all of us, because we all know that when we're heavy, we can't function properly. You know, that's why little skinny Deborah can dance all over the place, because she doesn't have any extra fat following her around, right? But, you know, and whenever you're heavy, you just can't bend over right, you know, and you huff and you puff and you blow the house down, right? You do all that kind of stuff. So, you know, and I said, God, we aren't a good example being heavy either. We really are not. God doesn't want us to be gluttons. So if sometimes weight is a physical problem, but most of the time it's a glutton problem. And you and a glutton won't see heaven either. Think about that. It tells me that in the Bible. So let's sort of trust God and believe that we're going to see all skinny people from now on. We have to go out and buy all new wardrobes. We gave away our skinny wardrobe. Now we have to go back and buy it again, right? All right, there's a story. One Sunday morning at a church service, back when my son was only a few years old, we were running late for church, which was not something I pride myself on. But that morning we were later than ever before. Therefore, our favorite pew, which happened to be closer to the back of the sanctuary, was filled already. We went to the front, the very front pew, you know, the one where the preacher seems to be speaking right at you. The service was going great when suddenly the pastor's son stood up and began to usher himself out of the service. He was in excruciating pain from a battle with kidney stones and was leaving church to go to the hospital's emergency room. "Let's pray," said the preacher's wife. We prayed and sought God for his hand to heal the situation. As the congregation joined in prayer along with the pastor and his wife, the Holy Spirit began to speak through unknown tongues and then through interpretation. The words are forever engraved into my memory. This is what God said. "If you believe, I will perform a miracle here today. If you do not believe, then leave my house. I cannot perform a miracle where there is unbelief." Do you know how many times we're praying for somebody sick? There's somebody sitting there saying, "Well, let's just see what they can do." Yeah, there's the unbelief. And that happens all the time. All right, in the Word, how come Jesus sent everybody out of the room before he prayed for the person? Peter did the same thing. He had to get the unbelief out of the room so their faith was there and their faith could work. So what makes you believe that we don't have to do that too? Get all the unbelief out of the room and then pray and watch God move. But then, when we was having miracles all the time, all those years, everybody in the room was an unbeliever. And they were coming just to see what was going on. And they got touched by God. So you see, this works two ways. It doesn't always work the same way. So don't say, "Oh, well, we can't get anybody healed in here today because there's so many in doubt and unbelief." You're always going to have doubt and unbelief in the house. Just make sure it's not you. All right? Everybody that is a member of this church should never walk in doubt and unbelief. We should know that we know that we know that God does heal. That he does raise the dead. He does perform miracles. It doesn't matter. The world's going to come in with a whole lot of doubt and unbelief. And if you're going to say, "Well, we can't do anything because of doubt and unbelief," then miracles are never going to happen in the house of God. Your mindset should be, "God, show them. Show off and show them what you can really do. And get them converted and follow you." Yes, we had a church full, and this is still the story. Yes, we had a church full of Christians praying, people that had seen and personally experienced miracles before themselves. In other words, he was saying, yes, everybody in there had seen miracles before, but God still said about the unbelief in the house. All right. Now, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? So don't get into condemnation if you're one of those who was watching something or heard something, and unbelief came in and doubt came in. Always remember, only a mustard seed amount of faith can literally move mountains. If it can move mountains, then why not a small stone, a painful kidney stone in this case? Matthew 17, verse 20 through 21. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Maybe some of us has to get into prayer and fasting in order to see the miracles move. And I'm going to confess that whenever we was having all those miracles going on, I was praying and fasting all the time. All the time. Now, because we have been letting unbelief overtake our faith, and with the focus on unbelief, we cannot remember the power of God, mostly because we have limited it for so long. And now when we need a miracle, we are limiting God. But what if you have never seen a miracle of healing and deliverance? How do you remember what you have never seen? First, we go to the Word of God. Read the first four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And every time you see the power of God, underline it. Read it and pray for God to bring it to life within your spirit. When I was born again, I walked into miracles immediately, and I know it's because God anointed me to do that. That was my purpose at that time, was to bring the signs, wonders, and miracles into the house of God so that the pastors could see that God really does move in that way. That was my assignment, and so he anointed me right up front. And when I read the Word, I believed everything the Word told me. Absolutely everything he said I could do, I did it. Because that's where God wanted me. And God even gave me a prophetic word about what was going to happen in the government, but we can't find those. And I was sitting thinking about it the other night, and I said, God, you used me so mightily, and you told me so many deep secrets. I don't want what I used to have, but I would really like to do something greater. Wouldn't you? Because God keeps saying, don't want what you used to walk in, even though it was great. There's something much more, much greater out there for you to walk in. So it doesn't matter what you have seen before. There's something greater. And we have to want that greater thing in order for God. We need to want that so much that it means more to you than sleeping. It has to consume you. And when it consumes you, God is going to overtake you, and he's going to give you that greater thing. And then we're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles happen and occur everywhere we go. Go to the book of Acts and read the mighty hand of God moving and healing those in need. Then go forth and do the works we were called to do. Now, you're going to have to do some footwork here. You're going to have to go and see, because God told me one time, read everything in red, because that's what Jesus spoke. And he said, then that's what you're supposed to be doing. And so now we need to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And every time you see the power of God, underline it. Then read it and pray for God to bring it to life within your spirit. You know, you just can't desire something. You have to be engrossed in God. You have to be a vessel that just wants nothing but God and what he wants. And then when you're that vessel, then God is going to move through you. And when you look at people and you see them are drug addicts, because that's what the world's full of it, and you start crying because they're so helpless. They want to be free, but they can't get free. And whenever that it just overtakes you, and you say, God, use me as an instrument of miracles, that whenever I pray for them, they'll be instantly set free. It's then that God can go to work and he can start performing the miracles that he needs to perform. God is doing something great right now in the earth. We don't see it, but we can feel it. It's in the atmosphere. And we just know, even in the services, there's a quietness to what he's doing. And there is a mighty move going on here. And that's why we prayed that song, because God said, I am moving mightily in the lighthouse, even though you don't see it. So remember, we need to quit saying, God, use me, use me, use me. Just thank him that he's moving in the church and he's going to manifest himself. All right? When you pray and see the miracle yourself, then you will be destroying the unbelief and engraving the memory of the miracle and deliverance deep into your memory. You will be able to remember the power, and then you will not be guilty of limiting the power of God Almighty. Besides a doubt and unbelief, we can limit God by unforgiveness. If you ever talk to someone involved in deliverance ministry, they will tell you that the most common cause of severe demonic problems in a person's life is unforgiveness. I'm sorry, guys, you just don't have the privilege of holding on to unforgiveness. You just don't have the privilege to do that. You have to forgive just as God forgave you. Clinging on to bitterness or grudges is virtually the single most dangerous spiritual thing that a person can do. It can even cause physical sickness, and yet it is so common even in the church. Unforgiveness is a cause of major bondage. It has been said that the major cause of hindrances and bondages in the lives of Christians is that of unforgiveness. Every one of us will have experienced things in our lives, disagreements, criticisms, and accusations, both true and false, against us. We cannot avoid these things happening. I want to stop there. You know, God keeps giving that scripture. He'll have no other gods before him. And you know, if you hear me talk about my father, you know, I idolized him. But God gave me a different scenario of what happened in my life. And, you know, I told you, I went to church. And when I come home, our little box of clothes was on the porch. And my stepmother told me, you no longer live here. And I was the oldest of six children. No, that's a lie. My sister was older, but she had already moved out. So I was the oldest of the five of us. And when I said, Daddy, I says, where are we going to go? Please let us come in. We have no place to go. He turned his back as she shut the door. At that given time, my father no longer loved me because he rejected me. And all these years, I always held on to him that he was a good man. But I idolized him, and God let me see there was nothing to idolize because he allowed her to shut five of us out with no place to go. Been on the streets in a backcountry road. What are you holding on to that you're idolizing? It's an idol and you're holding it before God. And then God showed me a couple other things about other people too. And see, I never saw them, but God says, I have no other idols before me. God is my Father. He would never put me out on the street. He would never beat me. He would never reject me. Are you understanding this? So now I'm looking totally at God, and he is my Father. And I thank God for what my father did and what other people did for me. But I don't no longer idolize them. Are you understanding this? 80-some years I had an idol that was not an idol. All right. Even Jesus said in Luke 17:1 that it was impossible, but that offenses would come. Offenses are stumbling blocks which come against us. Things said and done to us to put us down or to try and subject us to someone else's will or so on. So no matter how well we handle relationships, we will all face negative things being thrown at us. Some will attack us if for no other reason than the fact that they are jealous of us. Have you ever seen anybody, you know, the people love a person in their life and they just really think they're just it, and the other person gets so jealous, they'll turn around and tell lies about that person just so they don't like you. You've seen that too. That's a shame that you're so messed up in your own mind that you have to put somebody else down and even tell lies about them so that the people don't like them any longer. You're going to pay for that one day in Judgment Day, because that's not a true child of God. 1 Corinthians 8:9 says, "But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak." As Christians, we must accept that these things will happen in our lives. You know, you need to quit going around thinking you're all that. I mean, you know, we are all that and then some in Christ Jesus. We really are. God really does love us. He says he's a king and we are his children, right? But we don't go around acting like we're holier than thou. You know, because other people are trying to find Jesus. And if you're acting so high and mighty, they're never going to find him, because God does not act high and mighty. Jesus was humble and lowly, right? And that's the way we have to be. And if we don't watch the way we walk, we're going to cause a lot of people to stumble and fall. And one day when you stand before God, he's going to hold all those, because Brother Brett said that happened to him. All those people that you caused to stumble fall is going to march before you, and God's going to ask you why. Why was you a stumbling block? So as Christians, we must accept that these things will happen in our lives, your offenses. The big issue is how we deal with them. And Matthew 18:7 says, "Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes." Everybody sitting in this room, you should never, ever bring offenses within to anybody. You know better. You're out there spouting off that you're a child of God. Then bring peace and not strife and not hardship. Allow people to see the true Jesus in you, and then they'll want what you have. Anger and strife are not part of God's kingdom. It is very important to realize that once the offense has taken place, we cannot change it. We can't change it. What we can change is our response to it and how we allow it to affect us. The sooner we can take these matters to the Lord and leave them with him, and at the same time practice forgiveness toward those who have offended us, the sooner we will be able to get on with our lives and continue to be fruitful in his service. You know, my father had 5 children to my stepmother. He had a daughter, then a son. And my father died first, and then he kicked the mother out, and he got the house. But he told me one day, he said, "Barbie, I'm so sorry for what my mother did put you through. You didn't, because I helped raise those kids until she kicked us out." He said, "You did not deserve it." He says, "All my life, I will remember what she did to you and how much hurt she caused you, but I can't undo it for you." And I told him it's no problem, that God had it all under control. That woman died a bitter old woman with nobody, none of her children wanting anything to do with her. And she brought that on her own head by her hateful way of treating people. So please don't be like her and die bitter and old by yourself. Forgive and forget and move on. It's not worth holding on to. All right, but if we allow those circumstances to get into our emotions and cause us to react negatively and to start bad-mouthing that person who has offended and hurt us, then it will quickly get into our spirit and lodge there. How many of you have started bad-mouthing somebody that's offended you, and you quickly think, "Whoops, I can't go there with that, because it'll mess me up and I'll be as bad as they are, maybe worse." Once that happens, then we become the loser in the situation, even if the accusations are wrong. Once we allow what they said about us to lodge in our spirit, then we become the loser in the situation, even if the accusations are wrong. Acts 24:16 says, "This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men." a conscience without offense toward God and men. It is so important that we learn to keep short accounts with God and with people. Otherwise, we will start on a downward slippery slope that can cause us to finish up being hurt, angry, resentful, bitter, and twisted, carrying a wounded spirit in the process. None of us can afford to let that happen, yet we are finding wounded Christians that have to be set free. It is sad but true that many who have a prophetic calling in God have been put down or prevented from functioning. And this has caused many to be shut down, be hurt, and to go inwards, which does not allow them to pursue and fulfill their calling. Tragically, many Christian leaders have been guilty of clamping down on those who are trying to exercise their spiritual gifts. That is so true. And I know why God called me into ministry, because I do have a heart of love. And I'm not jealous, and I'm not concerned that you're going to take my position. And if you notice, I do allow you to use your giftings. In fact, that's my job, is to grow your giftings up. And I know that because of what God uses me to do to help you people, that you have grown to the place you're at right now. And God can send you forth and use you then to grow up other leaders the same way you were grown up. I'm hearing God say the criteria for being a true leader is, first of all, love, then an unselfish heart. Are you listening here? And I know I've pushed some of you to your limit, telling you what you can do, because I know what God has shown me you can do. And it's my job to push you until you get it done. Some of you in here, you're really true, really good writers. And people need to hear what you write, you know. And that's why I push you to get it done. Get it out there, because these new people that's coming into the house do not know what you know. And they're going to need to read. I don't know about you, but when I was first born again, I read everything I get my hands on. I have shelf after shelf of books, and I've given books away because I was needed to know how I should walk with God. Right? And the new people is going to be the same way. They're going to need, and other than, you know, just what we tell you in a half hour is not going to make your walk. You're going to have to read. But make sure what you're reading. Wait, see, you guys are all anointed. And all your writings are anointed. And so when you put your book back there and the people get that book, they're going to grow. Regardless of who caused the offense, we all need to practice forgiveness. Let me emphasize this very strongly to you. Carrying unforgiveness in your heart is not worth it. It is not worth it. There is nothing good or justifiable in our carrying unforgiveness. If you have any unforgiveness in your heart in life right now, let me encourage you to make it a top priority to deal with it and to get rid of it. Take it to Jesus. Give it to Him, as He is the only one who can take it away from us. There's some of you sitting in here that you're oblivious to the fact that you have things inside of you that are destroying you. And you know what you need to do is every day say, God, if there's anything in me that's not of you, reveal it to me so I can get rid of it. And then you can walk the way Jesus wants you to walk. Some of you know what's inside of you, though. I know when I'm upset with somebody. Come on. And I know when somebody has done something that's really hurt me deep. I know that. So it's up to me then to say, okay, God, this has gone deeper than it needed to go. I need you to take it away from me so I can be free to walk on and do what you're calling me to walk to do. All right? And all right, and some of you know you offended people. You need to go before God and ask Him to forgive you. And then you need to maybe go and ask people to forgive you because you offended them. The true nature of the nature of a true Christian is that whenever you can say, go to somebody, say, I'm so sorry that I offended you. I am so sorry that I judged you and I'm not supposed to judge anybody. Are you understanding this? I said to somebody, you know, and I said, you know, I really do love you and I'm so glad that you're here. The next day they stole something from me. I said, well, God, I forgive them and I'll still love them. You know, that's the way the enemy works, right? Because the enemy wants to destroy that person. And if I walk in unforgiveness of what they did to me, then the enemy has an open door to destroy them. And God says in the Bible, you have to turn your cheek 7 times, doesn't it? In one day. And one time, I probably you said this to God, dear God, my cheeks are about wore out. Because you've turned the other cheek so often. But God said to me one day when I said it, he said, my son's back was battered and bruised and their blood run everywhere just for you. Your cheeks aren't bloody. So keep turning the other cheek. That's what he said to me. What can he say that to you? Will you row against him or will you say, yes, Father? You know, think about this. Well, I have a right. Not really. No, you really don't. You just wish you would did. So if we're working for Jesus, we're servants, right? And we're supposed to be there for the people to help them, lift them up, and move them on. Come on. And God said, each one of you know your circumstances. You know your situation. So don't sit there and be all justified by doing what you do. He says, take it to me. Give it to me. Let's you and I talk about it. And I'll reveal the truth of the situation to you. Because you just want to be a martyr. And that's why you allow people to do what they do to you. All right. Lost my place. It is Jesus that we are called to please. And our caring unforgiveness does not please him at all. In fact, unforgiveness stops God from forgiving us of our many offenses against him. And Matthew 6:14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If you're not forgiving people for hurting you, then God can't forgive you either. We are prone to being hurt. We'll be hurt until Jesus takes us home. That's just a fact. They persecuted Jesus. They persecuted his disciples. They persecute John the Baptist. Do you think they're not going to persecute you? Of course they are. Another thing that will limit the unlimited power of God is our lack of love. Love is what Jesus called the first and the greatest commandment. Love is the foundation in Matthew 22:36. Teacher, they're talking to Jesus, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. See, right there, we feel that over and over again. We don't love God the way we should. And then verse 38, he said, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And see, in verse 39, the problem is there, you don't love yourself. You can't forgive yourself. You don't love yourself, so therefore you can't love others. Isn't that right? You have to. I didn't love myself. I thought I was unlovable because I was told that all my life. And I had to start loving myself. God brought me through that. And then I could freely love from the very depths of my heart the way God wanted me to love. I was told all my life, you're ugly and unlovable. Nobody will ever love you. And that got, and some of you have heard that too, and that got ingrained into my spirit. And that's just who I thought I was. And you know who changed me? I went into a pharmacy over by Wendy's, and I was going to buy a package of false eyelashes. And the girl at the cash register said, "I've been watching you walk through the store." And she said, "You don't love yourself at all, but you are very lovable. Don't buy those false eyelashes. You don't need them. You don't need any false thing about yourself." She said, "God loves you." That changed my whole life. When I looked at myself differently. She didn't know me from nobody. But God laid me upon her heart, and she watched me walk through the store, and God showed her who I really was, you know, how I felt about myself. So how do you know if when you're in a store, God doesn't point out somebody to you and he says, "Watch that person, and this is what's going on in that person's life." Then you walk up to them and you say, "This is what God told me about you." You're understanding this? You could be the vessel that changes somebody else's life. And I was 50 years old at that point. So for 50 years, I thought I was, you know, unlovable. And to this day, I thought, boy, I wasted so much of my life believing that junk, living that way. So whatever age you are, let God change you right now. Quit believing the lie of the enemy and know that you are lovable. If nobody else loves you, God does. And that's really all you need. All right, so we read about the law of love, and right here Jesus identifies the law of love for every believer, love of God, and love of others. I would like to say that I know a lot of people that are the most loving people on earth, but they cannot believe that Jesus heals. How many of you run into good, really good Christians? They'll give you anything, and they love God with all their heart, but they say, "Nope, healing is not for today," and you can't make them believe it is either. Even when God was using us for sign, wonders, and miracles, I would say to somebody, "Can I please pray for you?" They said, "No, because healing is not for today." They died in their sickness when God wanted to heal them. All right, they are walking in unbelief and will not be able to heal the sick. God is asking us to take off all limitations to his miracle-working power tonight. And just enter into complete agreement with his word that he so desires to heal and set free. Enter into agreement with him tonight that this is a desire of his heart. Drop all the unforgiveness, hurts, bitterness, and so forth that you have been carrying, and allow God to cleanse and purify you. Many people are going to offend you from now until eternity. Don't pick up the offense. Disregard it. Understand that they have allowed the enemy to come into their lives to use them to offend you, to cause you to lose your walk with God. You know, just do what you should do and quit allowing the enemy to dictate how you should walk your life. God's saying we're all vulnerable for offenses. Every one of us can be offended if we allow it to happen. You're going to have to learn how to forgive quickly, like instantly, and then walk on, or the enemy's going to have you. I'm hearing God say there is a great uproar in heaven. The angelic forces are in arms over what the enemy is doing in the camps of God. And God has to move. And he has to destroy the kingdom of darkness in the houses of God so he can bring the harvest into the house. If any of you lack love tonight, love of self, or even love for others, God wants to set you free from that. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, God wants to set you free from that. Some of you in here have been walking in bitterness and unforgiveness since you've been a small child. And it's become so much a part of you that you don't even realize it's wrong. It's there. God wants that tonight. He wants to yank that out of you. And he wants to bring you to the fullness of the knowledge of who you are in Christ and who he is in you. But because you have this luster over this thing, you don't understand it's there. And what you need to do is just say, God, reveal to me anything that's hindering me right now from walking in the fullness of who I should be. Just ask him that right now. You're never going to go any further in your walk with God until you do that. And you can tell that you're one of those because you don't have peace. There's a constant turmoil in going on inside of you. You don't have peace. So let's give that to God right now. Let's not allow that thing to hinder any longer. You young kids, some of you young kids, you've allowed that to fester so long that you just think that's part of life. And it's not part of life. There's so much more to life. There's joy. There's laughter. There's deep laughter, you know. Are you ready to move on? If you are, then God said the altar's open.